You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Out of studio with me via telephonic technology is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I am quite fine, thank you.
I'm glad you're fine. I'm glad to be talking to you. I love these conversations we get to have. For our listeners, they're going to be overjoyed that I don't have a grandbaby story to tell. I've got a Lisa fucking Murphy story to tell.
You didn't tell me.
No, I told you I had a good way to roll into this episode. So the episode I suggested to you was one about follow through, because I think sometimes we get ideas in our head and we want to do things, and it's the follow through that becomes the struggle for us. And one of the things I love about you, Lisa fucking Murphy, is you got follow through. If we talk about doing something, we tend to do it. We might not get it done as fast as we'd like to, and every once in a while something comes up and we got to adjust midstream and those kind of things. But I look at those as being part of life. What I dig about you is there's always that willingness and desire and effort in taking the next step forward in whatever the project is. And I that's one of the reasons I like doing this show and some of the other fun adventures we've had together. And so thank you for that. And maybe we can lead into a conversation about how we can all be better, more thoughtful, more intentional about follow through when it comes to our lives. That a little bit much for a Monday morning?
Well, I'm trying to see where I'm going to pick this up and run with it. Okay, so for me, one of the reasons why that's a sticking point with me is because I grew up getting IOUs for birthday presents and Christmas presents that never were made good on.
Did you save those?
No. part of my therapy early on was to realize that holding on to the IOU does not mean that all of those things are going to manifest. So without turning this into, like, you know, therapy or you know, Monday morning talk on the couch or whatever, that is totally why, because I grew up with, you know, promises that, you know, would never happen, and you know, you reach a point where you're just like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And it wasn't bad. I mean, I think my parents had very good intentions. I also though think that because they gave you a picture of the boombox you wanted in eighth grade, that somehow that actually really meant that you got it. And so follow through became something that was just important to me. Like I lately too, I will err on the side of under committing to things, mm-hmm. or just straight up saying, you know what, I'm not able to commit to that right now, because to not follow through on stuff is one of my personal, it's one of my things. It's one of my things. So, I don't know. I'm not quite sure where you were wanting to go with that, but I appreciate your compliment. I think you were aware of kind of where it started, you know, like, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to go on a trip. I'm like, yeah, I don't, until I see tickets, you know, we're not going anywhere. Like, show me the tickets, right? And then I'll start thinking that we're actually going somewhere. And so I think that's important when it comes to the power, or the, even like the kids, like you get, they're like, oh, we'll do it after nap. Oh, we'll do it after, we'll do it tomorrow. Like, really? How, did you write it down? Like, cause the kid's going to remember that you said that. So what's your system for making sure that you're making good on the stuff you say we're going to do after NAP. You know, and if you know that you that's a hard thing for you, then being mindful, like, don't beat yourself up. Just stop saying it, right? If you know that that's either develop a system that helps you actually stay on task with what you say you're going to do, or break the habit of saying that and just, you know, stop promising.
Crap, Lisa Murphy. You just reminded me of a grandbaby story where I didn't follow through.
Oh, well, it happened, right? We're human. It happened.
Yeah, well, I have got every intention to, but I haven't got there yet. I think I might have mentioned it when we were out doing the loop through Yellowstone. She got in her head that she needed to pee in the grass. Did I talk about this already?
I don't think so.
It's something you need to remember. And so for some reason, she wanted to pee in the grass someplace. And
okay.
And I'm like, well, I don't have any reason you shouldn't. Because
right?
as a dude, I've been peeing in the grass all my life, and it's awesome. It is also
as a trail runner, I've been peeing in the woods for a couple of years now. But that's
about it. Is it awesome?
It is awesome.
Well, I see. I don't know, and Tasha's got no reference point because that's something Tasha would. It's just not. And so I actually got to the point with, because I told grandbaby, yeah, I'll find a place you can pee in the grass. And then it got rainy, and then she didn't want to pee in the grass in the rain, and so she hasn't got to pee in the. And now she's on her road. This is going to have to be something I do before we leave for Australia. I actually got to the point where I had to search it. I had to Google search. It because I'm not sure the mechanics of.
Oh, you just squat. You have to just squat down.
Well, yeah, but there's things to pay attention to. I found a great article. I did a Google incognito search because I'm thinking.
You didn't want anybody to know that you were Googling pictures of how to pee standing.
How women pee standing. Yeah, I didn't want it to be in my search history, but now it's on a podcast. But no, apparently you gotta pay attention to the slope of the ground, otherwise you get your shoes wet.
Sure.
These kind of
things.
You gotta
pay attention to poison ivy.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's some sort of pelvic tip tilt that comes into play with this whole thing too. And so I wanted to do my research. But I just remembered I haven't followed through on that with grandbaby.
Well, you're a horrible grandpa.
I've made a note, and it's and now I don't know if she's forgot about it or she's thinking, God, Papa's such a dick.
No,
she's not thinking that. She's gonna be she's gonna be a few years older before she starts thinking that about anything.
I highly doubt that she is somewhere right now today going, my papa promised me that I was going to get to pee in the grass.
Wait, that she's down in Kansas now. She might be peeing in the grass as we speak.
You know, she might just figure it out. And maybe, you know what, you're going to make some big deal out of it. And she's going to be like, yo,
took care of that. No, I would have got a message on the grandbaby alert system. I get tuned in every time something good happens. And so back off of our tangent. I think the follow through thing is important. I see it like you said with adults with children. Maybe later, or yeah, we can do that after this. Those kind of things. I also see it going on with trainings. You see this? People walk out of an event with ideas or a little bit of inspiration or whatever, and they plan on doing a thing, and then real life gets in the way, and the follow through isn't there for them. And so I was just hoping maybe we could have a conversation about how we could all be a little bit more intentional and we could all follow through with our desire to follow through better.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm glad you circled back to what you said, because I was going to jump here anyway, but you kind of did a nice little lead in, so thank you for that. That's why I do the 10-day rule at the workshop. I tell people I don't want you doing anything different for 10 days, because what happens is just what you said. Either you go back and everything drains out of your head by Monday and you forget everything anyway and, you know, whatever. Or you go back on Monday and it's like, you know, like a bull in a china shop and you're trying to execute and implement absolutely every new idea that you got at the conference. And both of those reactions are extremes, right, in both directions. So in order to, again, recalibrate, bring people back to the center of how to make it manageable and not overwhelming, is I tell people that you're not allowed to do anything different for 10 days except active observation. Like, start paying attention to what's going on in the classroom. Write it down, talk to your colleagues, whatever that's going to look like, right? So then in 10 days, whatever it is that you're still thinking about is your authentic starting spot for making change, whatever that might look like. But you got to harness, like, the reality check of it. You know, you go back on Monday and you're like guns ablazing. The other thing is that many people will be at conference, but your colleagues aren't with you, right? So you get all like jazzed up. And then you go back on Monday and you're rearranging the room and, you know, changing out the music and, you know, figuring out your schedule. And your colleague or your co-teacher is looking at you like, did you go to another workshop? You know, and they can tell, you know, they're smart. And the conversations have to happen. And a lady came through Rochester, and forgive me because I'm forgetting her name, but she is somebody who does a lot of training, like 5 years ago, maybe even more. But she said a lot of things that stuck with me. But one of the things that I like stole and adopted was the notion of being reflective and not reactive.
Oh.
And I think, yeah, see, isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Being reflective, not reactive. So, and I think even just in our daily interactions with children, being reflective and not reactive is good advice. So this one little soundbite that came from her, like, really was awesome. And I've been able to put it in my tool belt and use it, like, all the time.
Yeah, I like that.
Write that down. I think the 10-day rule allows that to happen. If people are really ready to start making some changes, you got to have time to let your brain process what you receive. Otherwise, you just go back and you're reacting, right? And the kids weren't a part of that to be a part of the process, your colleagues, your director potentially. Now, the one thing that I say, if it's an all school, like if everybody from the school shows up,
yeah,
one of the challenges that I give to them is take 15 minutes before you guys walk out of here and sit down and barf out on a piece of paper every single thing that's in your head right now. Like, just barf it all out. Bullet points, phrases, whatever. Just barf it out and then forget about it. And do your 10 days of observations, of your having conversations. And then in 10 days, when you regroup, revisit this list and compare it with what you're still thinking about. You know, and so then your baby step is what are the things, what are the common denominators? That 20 staff here, we barfed out 50 things. We're still thinking about these 10. You know, what of these 10 are we all pretty much on the same page on? It's, you know what I'm saying? It's like you have to have a plan. You can't just go back and be like, woo, we're going to fly swatter paint and do finger painting every day and have shaving cream out all the time.
Woohoo!
Then it's completely chaotic. And chaos is not part of the message of what Jeff and I are bringing to the table. But if you react often to what we say, it will look chaotic. And that's why the reflection component is crucial. Because going back on Monday and doing blubber and ooblet and painting with a helmet does not this is going to sound sassy. That doesn't mean you've understood the theory and the concept and the content that has been placed in front of you for your consideration. The activities are like the gateway, right? Uh-huh. You have some success with some of the activities. Now, at some point, I want you to start being like, well, why is that always working? Like, why do kids really, really like that stuff? And now you're ready, perhaps, for some of the theory that supports, you know, is the foundation for your entry. Some people enter with the theory, and then they have to become more comfortable of doing more of the activities, right? Uh-huh. So it depends on where you are on your own journey, but it's definitely a balance. It has to be a nice, healthy blend of both. And so it's easier to implement, you used the word follow through for this episode, when you're on the same page with your colleagues. I think this is one of the areas for family childcare people. They have a trump card here because it's them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have 19 other people that they got to get on the same page. When a family childcare provider is ready to start making some changes in his or her environment, the only person they got to run that by usually is themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When it comes to actually like the practice of our profession, you know, I realize there's licensing and you might live with another person. You need to have some conversation. I get that. But you're not going to have, you know, the poopy face down the hall getting all up in your grill about like, that is not allowed. We're not going to, you know, you don't have that headache. You just, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's not even there.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Now, for center-based people, you got a little bit more of a challenge, you know, and ideally, you would all be on the same page. The reality is that you're not. So you at least need to be having conversations with whoever you share that particular room with, and that's the kind of stuff that has to happen during that 10-day time frame. Otherwise, there's no follow-through at all, and you could probably list 100 reasons and excuses as to why nothing happened.
Yeah, yeah. It all comes back to building some structure for whatever it is you want to get better at following through on. When you go into it blind, without structure, without some intentionality, you're setting yourself up for failure. When you try to do all the activities in the ooey gooey handbook on the first day back from the conference, you're setting yourself up for chaos and failure. When you step back and you think about the structure, when you think about the process and engage with some baby steps, then you're going to be more likely to follow through on whatever that change is going to be. I got called out in Wisconsin on this not too long ago. I don't think I talked about this in an episode yet either. It just happened a couple weeks ago. I found out we're on the road and I'm having a conversation and grandbaby's with us and I found out from Tasha that she's feeling like she's not hearing me say that I love her enough. Now she knows I love her, but she likes to hear those words. And I thought I'd been doing this enough, but I'm a guy and I'm not her, and what I think is enough and what she thinks is enough are two different things. And so I realized this is something that I can get better at this. I can change this. I can build a new habit for this. And if it's something she needs and wants, this isn't a hard thing. And so I decided to follow through on the I love you more. I love you, baby, if you're listening to this episode, by the way. and so the way I went about that was a complete, total dude way. I programmed a reminder into the calendar on my phone. Well, that's exactly what it says. Well, it has been working, and I usually remember before the reminder pops up on a given day. And if I don't, the reminder pops up on a given day. Because part of follow-through is building habit. You get in the habit of following through. You get in the habit of responding to emails. You get in the habit of doing whatever the thing is. And so I'm talking about this at a training not too long ago in Wisconsin. And the whole idea is that we've got to – changing our habits is hard. And we've got to lay the groundwork sometime if we want to do this. And – I mentioned the phone thing, and this room full of women groans. And I get that because it's not romantic to...
Yeah, but you know what? I got to say something.
Okay.
This is one of the things that women and men... Oh, when you, as a woman, tell your man that you want something to start happening and it starts happening, you need to not give a rat's ass as to the system or the method as to how it started happening, for crying out loud. You got what you said you wanted. Stand down. Oh, my God, that pisses me off. Pisses me off.
Stand.
You're
stand
getting
down.
What you asked for. Shut up. Oh, my God, I can't stand that. I can't. And it leads right into the second thing I can't stand is when I hear mamas bitching and moaning that their men never do anything for the baby and around the house and shit. And yet then when he does, you critique him.
He doesn't do it right.
How wrong he's doing it. Then clearly you enjoy doing it. The rule in my house, and it's one of those rules that gets extrapolated to like every possible scenario. Here's the wind down, and then we can get back on topic. I'm sorry, but I had to say something.
Oh, no.
That just fires me up. He who does not fold the laundry does not bitch as to how laundry is folded. I mean, that's it. And that's the rule in my house. And it was actually towels. It was the towels that we had people living with us for a while, and they folded their towels differently than we folded our towels. And I was like, you know what? Somebody else folded your towels. You need to shut the F up or fold your own towel, right? She who folds the towels does not fit as to how towels are folded. And it works and it fits, right? If you are not the one doing it, but it's now saving you from having to do it, you either need to step up and say, this bothers me enough to where I will now assume responsibility for this particular task, or you need to bite your tongue and take a big breath and remember that she who does not fold the towels does not bitch as to how towels are folded, which goes right into what Carol Gerhardt Mooney, about if you're not participating, you relinquish your right to pontificate. If you're not participating in the process, and this can be jumped right into early childhood education, if you're not paying attention and being a part of the whole process, you have no room for complaining about how stuff is being done.
What do you really think, Lisa?
Oh my God, I'm a little sweaty right now. I'm a little sweaty. I stood up in my house here like I had an audience. Like my plants are clapping for me right now. They're waving their little
tendrils are waving at you.
Yes, yes, I got standing ovation from the pussy willow.
so I got a little bit of crap from the group for putting it in my phone, but then I broke it down for them I need this tool. I need this reminder because I just need it to learn the new habit. And I'm ready to go down that path and do the thing. It's just we need some follow up to do the thing sometime. And so I guess if we're looking at getting better at the follow up, we need to be a little bit more intentional about the process we build for that. And on the work side of things, I'm pretty good at figuring out the process to implement and figure out ways to efficiently and effectively follow up on stuff. But some parts of life, I'm just crap at it, Lisa.
Well, we all are.
That makes me feel better, but I'm still fat. Because the whole idea.
No, you're not.
It keeps getting worse, Lisa Murphy. No, the thing
you
is.
You have to go buy fat pants yet?
Well, no, not yet. But I keep buying them in the same bigger than I would like them to be size. And so it's easy to talk about, and it's not necessarily that I eat unhealthfully, it's just I eat too much because food is yummy. And
yeah.
And then we do things like have pod week where hordes of people who love to cook show up at the house, and then we go on the road, and there are all kinds of you got to go to this restaurant. Well, okay, and you got to try this.
Okay.
Well, okay, and so on that side of things, I mean, I could eat less and I could exercise more, and I just don't follow through.
Well,
with those things,
I'm gonna say something, and this comes back to our, you know, the common denominator of intention, the intentionality behind it. Your love for Tasha is 100% authentic. It moves you. It's like the glue of the relationship, right? So there was, like, you had no real issue with adding that into your life. Okay, just follow my train of thought here.
Yeah.
Whereas, so, and in theory, even taken to its nth degree, if that small slight change didn't happen, it could have escalated into something a little big that potentially would have had some negative impact on the relationship, which at the end of the day is not something that you want.
Yeah.
Okay, now, come back to the food. And I can talk like this right now because I'm in the exact same boat, right? Because I love to eat. In fact, right now, before we started potting, I'm going through 5 years of foodie magazines, pulling out the recipes that I'll actually make, and then dumping the rest of the magazines because I'm tired of them being in my house. And I have been distracted for 20 minutes by a picture of a burger with green patch peppers coming off. It's like porn. I'm staring at this while you're talking. And all I'm thinking in my head while we're talking is, when can I make this? When can I eat this? This is what I'm thinking. When can I eat this? There's some insight into Lisa Murphy's brain. I'm revisiting my passion for cooking, and also learning that there are a couple things that have to happen in my life on a daily basis for me to feel balanced and centered and to feel like a good person, right? And one of them is cooking. The other one is running. For the last couple of years, it's been out of balance. I've been doing way more eating than the exercising, and now my body is a different shape than I'm used to it being. Point being is that at the end of the day, even though I might be a little physically, like, uncomfortable because I, in my world, you know, I've never been this big before. I feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm healthy. For the most part, I am a happy and healthy person right now. So although I have this goal of losing some of the weight, it's the intention behind it is not one that, you know, it's like this line between, I haven't just kind of thrown in the towel and been like, screw it, you know, just buy the size bigger pants and like get on with your life. But, you know, like while you're smoking, you know, like, screw it, just buy the bigger pants. And so there's a part of me that's like wanting to make it clear that it's not that sense that you've thrown in the towel. There's just this sense that, you know what, if at the end of the day, this is now what I present as a physicalness of my, like the manifestation of my being, maybe not the hill I'm going to die on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where it's not getting in the way of me other than it's different than how it's been, but it's not impacting my health. I'm still out there running. I mean, I ran, you know, I'm still training for races and stuff like that. I've just got a little bit more with me. Does that make sense? Like, so you still have to see the intention. So if all of a sudden I started to think, well, that's it. I'm going to go on a diet. Like it's filled with shoulds and coulds and isn't really what I want to be doing. So it's not going to be successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, like, the only reason I would right now make myself go on a diet is because I feel somehow I should, which is why it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and like, running, that's why I running and I broke up for way longer than I thought was going to ever happen. And now I'm revisiting my relationship with running, and the reason why it's working and I've been running every day is because I'm doing it because I want to, not because I should.
Mm.
And I think that is huge when it comes to changing our mind, when it comes to follow through. What is the intention? And that's why my questions, I think, are out there for everybody to think about. What are you doing, and why are you doing it, and who is it for? And I think we can apply that to personal stuff as well as professional stuff.
And so some following up, I think we can agree, good thing. Easier in some parts of our life, harder in others. And at the end of the day, we probably don't need to be beating ourselves up a lot over the places where we have shortcomings, huh? You know, unless it's impacting your life negatively. There've been people I've had business arrangements with that it got to the point with follow-up that I had to move on because it just wasn't working with them. And maybe that was a good thing for those people. And maybe they should have been better at following through. And so, I mean, if it's not having a big impact on your life, it's okay not to be good at this in all realms of your life, I guess is what I'm getting at, huh?
I think it's being a little bit more gentle with yourself, you know? And again, I think your point is valid, and I want to make sure that we don't jump over that. If something is getting in the way negatively, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, that's information to look at.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like the 25 pounds that I've put on at the end of the day, not going to kill me, right? You know what I'm saying? And like you, it was just that my life was out of balance for a while and eating and, you know, whatever. The point is that you can choose to not beat yourself up about stuff. Now, to continue to go down a path when you know maybe it's not in the best interest for yourself, you know, then that's when maybe you need to step in and have somebody assist you, you know what, in figuring out what that is. But we're not talking about those kinds of situations, I think, right now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, why are you thinking that you need to be implementing that?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just
and
that's why
the 10 days, I think, are important. Like, because otherwise you leave a conference and, you know, you're like stopping at the Home Depot and the dollar store and you're buying all this stuff. And that's that reacting. And then when it's not successful, then we get frustrated. You know, when I first came back into running, I signed up for a 50-mile race. Well, that was stupid. You know, I haven't run, you know, in 18 months. And instead of embracing just getting back on the trail again, like, why did it had to be like, you know, big, like, wow, 50, wow. And then I'm like,
I'm Lisa Murphy.
Right, exactly. I have to go run 50 miles in 6 weeks. You know, and you're like, whoa, no, let's be a little bit more realistic. Let's be a little bit more gentle. Because then that's what would happen, right? So then you start working on looking at the schedule and thinking, oh, my God, I'm a little more out of shape than I thought. It's a little harder. You know, and then you end up sabotaging the whole thing, and then you end up not running at all because you bit off more than you could chew. Well, I shouldn't have signed up for a 50 in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
You
sometimes
know, I needed to embrace where I was and then have a more realistic plan. Otherwise, I'm going to break up with running again, right, which I don't want to do. I'm bringing a different intention to the table this time, not doing it because I should, doing it because I want to.
Yeah.
So how are we going to make that happen?
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with everything.
We get in these, we create situations sometimes where we set ourselves up for failure. And so that 10 days, what that does, it helps you create intentionality. I think the other, another good tool there is to go to somebody you trust for some perspective. The first, you know, you talked about 25 pounds a little bit ago. First, and I think we mentioned this in the podcast, first time I saw you, I hadn't seen you for a while, and I said, you look good, and I had to pack my fat pants, and I'm like, well, you look good, and you're like, well, you're not the only one that said that, and so
yeah,
having that outside perspective sometimes can be valuable in these situations where we're trying to figure out how we follow through and how better to follow through and how to avoid beating ourselves up where we don't feel like we're following through in one bit of life. It's complicated. If any other stuff was easy, we'd all be running 50-mile races and weigh exactly what we wanted to and never forget to reply to an email or something.
Or floss.
Or floss. Oh, fucking floss. And I mean, it's such an easy thing, but you got to get the thing out of it and pull it. So yeah, we'd all be better at that too. Any more for the good of the topic, or have we beat this horse to death?
I think we might have beat this one to death.
We did. There was
in a good way.
There was no horse beat.
No horses were harmed.
No horses were harmed in the making of this episode. Hey people, here's the thing. Follow through is a valuable thing, and we could all probably be a little bit better at it in some parts of our lives. And if you got some setbacks once in a while, don't beat yourself up about it, because life is complicated. Life is hard. That's not making excuses. That's just looking at reality on reality's terms and we make the best choices we can and try to keep moving forward, try to keep moving down our path of personal and professional development and see where we can get. I can tell you one place where you're going to get some follow through. We're going to follow through and bring you another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast in just a couple days. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'd talk about a wrap-up, huh? See the way I pulled that together? Fucking,
that was awesome.
Fucking professional. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.